Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, stand to your feet. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're going to read verses 31 through 34, and then we're going to turn over to Psalm, the 68th chapter, and read the 19th verse together. And we stand, we want to give honor to the Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God. It's such a rock, it's such a light and a lamp to our feet, to guide our path, and I'm so thankful for it. And we're going to look to it today and allow it to lead and guide. And some people may not like this word, but I like to use it. The Word of God controls how I live my life. As we surrender ourselves to the Word of God, it knows what is best. And so let's read Matthew 6, 31 through 34 together, and then you can turn over to Psalm 68 and 19. This is Jesus speaking, and here's what he says. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now go with me to Psalm, the 68th chapter, and we're going to read the 19th verse. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Would you pray with me today, Father? We look to you today as we look to the Word. We know that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that was speaking of Jesus who came in the fullness of grace and truth, and he became a man, but he did not sin. And he was fully God. And we look to you today, King Jesus, and we ask that you would lead and guide our lives. We say in all things you have preeminence, you reign and you rule. And we submit ourselves to you today as we come into the house of the Lord. And I pray that every single person that is here today would be instructed and guided, not by me, but by your word, because your words are greater and higher than my words. And so I surrender myself to you today. Would you use this time that we are assembled together today to edify, to strengthen, exhort, comfort, and convict whatever is needed. We know that it's found in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated today in the house of the Lord. Thank you so much for being here on New Year's Eve and choosing to spend time in God's house, and you're dedicating yourself and your time to him by being here. And I just want to say thank you so much. It means a lot to me. And I want to say thank you to you for all the faithfulness that you've shown over this past year. It's been an incredible year, a great year for the church. I truly believe it's been the greatest calendar year that we've ever had as the Well Fort Payne, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And I just also want to take a moment and thank the leadership of this house, Pastors Lauren and Bonnie, Pastors Jeff and Crystal, Pastors Tanner and Jody and Logan, the deacons. You guys serve so faithfully, and can you guys just show your appreciation to them? They do so many things that may go unnoticed from time to time, but we could not do what we do without them. And so I'm thankful to each and every one of you guys. And as we begin a new calendar year tomorrow, I've already said much of that today, but I think that it's important that we realize that today being 12/31, the last day that we're blessed with in 2023, some of you may be ready to wash your hands completely of 2023. You may be like, thank God, it's over, I'm finally done with it, because maybe this year brought a lot of strife in your life. Maybe you had difficulty with family. Maybe you had difficulty at work. Maybe you had financial struggles. Maybe you had things just, it seemed like nothing went right. Maybe your unit went out on your air conditioner at home. Your car broke down. Maybe your dog died. I don't know, but maybe you had a really bad year. Things were tough. Things were hard. Things were challenging. And so you just had a rough year and you're like, you know what? I'm ready for it to be over. I'm ready for a new start, a fresh start. Maybe you had the best year of your life. Maybe like Pastors Tanner and Jody, you welcomed a baby into this world in 2023. We did this, we did as well. And so we had a great time, you know, getting to welcome Bishop. And so maybe you had good and you had bad. That's probably what you most all of you experienced. You had some good times, you had some bad times. But the God on the mountain, He's still God in the valley. Anybody like that song with me? I love that song. And maybe you found in 2023 that the God of the mountain truly is the God of the valley. And maybe you spent some time on the mountain and you spent some time in the valley. There was time where things were good. There was time when things were bad. But no matter if you had a great year, you had a bad year, or you kind of walked the hills and the valleys and everything in between, the reality is we can't stop 2024 from coming. Whether you like it or not, 2023 is over. Tonight at midnight, nobody has the power, except for God, because He can do anything, to roll the clock back and go, you know what? I want a mulligan. I want a do-over. I don't want 2023 to end. I'm not ready. Whether you're ready or not, 2024 is coming. It'll be here. Maybe you're like me and 2024 will happen when you wake up tomorrow. Because like Pastor Madison said, I'm not staying up till midnight. If the Lord wills, it will be 2024 when I wake up. But I don't have to wait up to see the clock turn. If you want to do that, that's between you and God. That's fine. You do whatever you want to do tonight. Just don't sin, okay? But you can stay up. You can stay up all night long for all I care, but I'm going to go to sleep tonight and I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And you know what I love about tomorrow when I wake up is even though it's 2024, God will not have run out of mercies. His mercies will still be new tomorrow morning. 2,024 years after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on a cross, His mercies are still new this morning. And so maybe you are trying to figure out what's 2024 going to look like. I want to challenge you with something. Now, some people, when you challenge them, they rise to the occasion. They're like, okay. Now there's competition involved, right? Now you've piqued my interest because you've challenged me. And now some people, they shy away from a challenge. I want to encourage you, don't shy away from this challenge. I want to challenge you with this year. Live 2024 one day at a time. One day at a time. Don't get too far ahead of where God has you right now. Because if you do, guess what? You'll miss what He has for you right now. Don't live looking in the rearview mirror because 2023 is over. We can't go back to it. Don't get stuck in yesterday. Why? Because yesterday is over. And there's nothing that you can do, nothing I can do to bring it back. So also, don't fret about tomorrow. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage of Scripture. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Why? Because sufficient for today is its own trouble. So what's Jesus saying to us? He's saying, stay in right now. Don't try to live in tomorrow. Don't worry about if you're going to have this, if you're going to have that, because God will supply all those things. In fact, He says it's the Gentiles. And He's not being racist when He says Gentiles. He's showing us it's the unsaved, that we would come to find out in the New Testament that circumcision is a matter of the heart, not a matter of the flesh. And it's the unsaved, the people that don't know God, that really worry about these things, that seek these things. But what do we seek as kingdom dwellers, as people of God? We seek first the kingdom of God and we seek first His righteousness. And if we do that, all these things will be added unto us. Psalm 65, verse 11 says this, "You, God, crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance." You know what I've learned? When I stay in His path, I have everything that I need. Because what did Jesus promise? He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Your Father who is in heaven, He knows you need all these things. And guess what? He'll supply them when you seek first His kingdom. But when you get in your own path, you will find yourself in lack. I love what David said. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." You may say, what does it look like to live in abundance? It looks like staying in the paths of God. He will always make sure that you have exactly what you need. As David said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread." So if you found yourself in 2023 lacking, guess what? You might want to check, was I in God's path? Because His paths drip with abundance. That doesn't mean that you will be overly wealthy. It doesn't mean that you will, you know, be able to buy a second home in Gulf Shores this year, unless that's what God has for your life. But what it does mean is this: He will supply every single thing that you need. And it says that His paths drip with abundance and He crowns the year with His goodness. That word crown means to encircle. That means God surrounds the year with goodness. So January 1 to December 31st and every day in between is surrounded with the goodness of God. No matter if it was, you may say things were better in the old days. I was born in 1991, and I can tell you there were some things about the world that were better in 1991, like me being born, than there is in 2023 or 2024. But I'll tell you this, you know what? God has surrounded 2024 with goodness the same way he did 1930, 1857, whatever year it is, God has encircled it and surrounded it with his goodness. That means that but here's the thing that we have to understand. That doesn't mean that we're excused from hardship. Oh, God surrounded the year with his goodness, so everything's going to be good. No, that's not what the Bible's saying. It doesn't mean that we get a pass on trouble. Jesus told us, in this world, you shall, not you might, you shall. It is a certain thing. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. Things aren't going to go your way. And we like to over-spiritualize things sometimes, but let me tell you, let me let you on a little secret. We live in a fallen world, and sometimes bad things just happen. Everything's not a sign. Everything doesn't mean that you aren't doing things right. Sometimes things just happen. But in the midst of that, we get the opportunity to see the goodness of God at work. Bad things happening doesn't mean God isn't good. It means that we get to see him be good in a way that we would not have gotten to see his goodness had the bad thing not happened. So life has an uncertainty about it. There are situations that we can't anticipate. Things are going to happen in 2024 that you did not see coming. They're going to blindside you because you're not God. You don't know everything. I'm not God. I don't know and see everything. But even though each and every moment may not feel good or look good, we know this. He's good. And he works all things together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Now, the Bible does not say that he works everything out for good. That's what we want. We want him to work everything out of our life. Everything that's bad, work it out. I don't want it. I don't want the car to break down. I don't want the kids to talk back. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to have to move. I don't want this. I don't want that. But he doesn't say he'll work it out for our good. He says he'll work it together. We know, Paul says. That means we're certain. We have assurance. We have confidence. We know this about God. He works all things together for our good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So what is our job? Our job is to love him and to walk in his purpose for our life, taking one day at a time. Meaning today I choose to love him with all my heart. I choose to love him with all my soul. I choose to love him with all my strength. Today I choose to live in his calling and I'm going to live in his paths. Why? Because his paths drip with abundance. My paths always lead to lack. They always lead to death. They always lead to sin. His paths always lead to life. And so I'm going to stay in his path. Not my will, but his will be done. His purpose is my priority. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. You know what Paul said? He said, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price with the precious, incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. What is he saying? Use your life, the thing that God has blessed you with, use it to honor God in every single thing that you do. So living one day at a time means this. It means that you will not let the pain of the past or the fear of the future distract you from what God has for you today. Living one day at a time. And that's my challenge for you. When in 2024, sometimes, you know, I the older I get and as we have now 5 children and life is busy and there's a lot of stuff going on. I said to Madison last night, the day we got in bed, and it was one of those days that I didn't know if it would ever end. It felt like 36 hours instead of 24. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, and we got in the bed and I was like, the days are long and the years are short. Because as I look back on 2023, it seems like yesterday it was January 1st. But yesterday felt like I lived 4 years, right? Like, and sometimes that's how it feels. The days are long, but the years are short. And what we have to do to combat life passing us by is choose, I'm living in today. I'm not going to worry about what tomorrow, because the Bible says, we talked about this a few weeks ago in the book of Psalm chapter 37. He says, do not fret. Why? Because it only causes harm. Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add 1 cubit to a stature? What is that accomplishing? What is it doing? It's not doing anything. It's not helping you in any way. So don't worry about tomorrow. Also, don't let the pain of the past, the mistakes that you made in 2024, distract you from what God's called you to today. I want to show you this. Peter denied Christ 3 times on the night of his betrayal. But on the day of Pentecost, who stood up and preached a sermon at which 3,000 people answered the invitation to come to know Jesus as their Savior? It was Peter. What if Peter would have let the pain of the past distract him from living in today? What if he would have let the fear of the future, because there was already people being dispersed and scattered because of persecution of the church, what if he would have thought, I better not go out there and say anything, because what if they put me in prison? We can't let fear of the future or pain of the past keep us and distract us from living in what God has for us today. The greatest enemy of today is not the trouble that you're going to face. The greatest enemy that you will face every single day is yesterday and tomorrow. How do I know that? Sometimes we think that difficulties or unfortunate events in life are our greatest struggle. Losing somebody, losing a job, failing at something. But if you are fully invested in mindfully living in today, you'll be ready for whatever comes your way. But if you're so focused on tomorrow, you're not ready for the battle. But here's what God said. He said he will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. Right? So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He gave us the armor of God to prepare us so that we can withstand the wiles of the enemy. But you know what? If I'm not fully invested in today, I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm no good for the battle I'm facing. But there is nothing that is greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But if we're not living in today, trusting God for today, we won't be ready for the battles that we face. So the greatest enemy is not what's ahead of you, because he's already given you everything you need to defeat the enemy. In fact, he's already defeated the enemy by the work of the cross. And so we're staring down a defeated enemy, getting defeated by it, and we think that that's our greatest struggle. But really the greatest struggle is that we can't let go of yesterday and we can't stop worrying about tomorrow. So that's your greatest enemy, is yesterday and tomorrow. Not that they were bad. Sometimes we can get so caught up in how good yesterday was, right? Man, things were so much better before 2020. Things were so much better before the divorce. Things were so much better before I had to change jobs. And we're so focused on yesterday that we can't live in today. Or we're worried. Maybe we're not worried about tomorrow. Maybe you're so hopeful about tomorrow that you miss the blessing that God has daily loaded you with right now. So what does living in today look like? How do we do that? How do we formulate and prioritize our life in such a way that we decide, you know what, I'm going to live in today. Okay, hopefully you have come to the place in your heart that you've resolved and you're deciding, I want to, you know what, you're right, Spencer, 2024, I am not going to worry about yesterday, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, I'm going to live in today. Now, how do you do that? Because I could sit here and get you all excited, like, I'm going to live in today, I'm going to live in today, and then you walk out of here and you're like, I'm going to live in today, but you don't know how to do it, right? You haven't been equipped, you haven't been taught. So I want to help you do three things that you can do to live in today. Number one is be prepared. Be prepared. The word prepared means the action or the process of getting ready. How do you do that? You prepare for each day by presenting yourself to God and saying, I'm your vessel. I'm here. I'm empty. I was made by you. I was made for you. Show me how to walk out today. And so you don't just haphazardly go through life and be like, well, I'm expecting your blessings. Prepare your heart. Prepare your mind. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Worship God. We just came through a series of dress for success, meaning get ready spiritually. Put on and take up the whole armor of God. That wasn't just something that we went through so that you could sit here and listen to me ramble for 30 or 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. It was to prepare you and show you in the Word of God, when you wake up in the morning, put on the armor of God. Every single day, I've been trying to practice this in my life. I'll go through it and I'll say, God, I put on the belt of truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. I put on and take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the word of God, which the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God in prayer. And when you do that and you prepare, you're ready to live in today. And no matter what comes against you, the temptation of the enemy, a negative comment from a coworker, something that is aimed at you from somebody, or, you know, just a difficulty of life, you're ready for it. Why? Because you prepared. John Wooden, the great basketball coach from UCLA, said this: when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. Boy, Florida State learned that last night, didn't they? When opportunity comes and it knocks on the door, it's too late to get ready, right? It's like if you were having some company over, and you knew you needed to get up and get dressed and get the house clean, but you sat down on the recliner and you leaned back And you said, like my grandfather used to say, I'm just going to rest my eyes for a minute, right? And next thing you know, somebody's knocking on your door. It's too late to get ready. It's too late to change clothes, right? You can't be like, hang on, give me 15 to jump in the shower and get dressed. We have to live each day being fully prepared and ready for what God has called us to. You know, another way that you can do this, and I'm kind of, as we come to the close of 2023, I'm trying to also use this and kind of remind you of things that we talked about that God spoke to us throughout this year. And we talked about a couple weeks ago, living in a profusion of peace. And there's 15 things that Psalm, the 37th chapter, tells us to do. And so you can prepare yourself by declaring, I've been doing this. I've added this to my prayer time. And at least a couple times a week, I go through these 15. I say, God, I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to fret because of evildoers. I'm not going to be envious of people. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to do good. I'm going to dwell in your promises. I'm going to feed on your faithfulness. I'm going to delight myself in you. I'm going to commit my way to you. And I'm going to remember I need to trust in you. I'm going to rest in you, wait patiently for you. And I'm going to remember I don't need to fret. I'm going to cease from anger, forsake wrath. And lastly, I will not fret because it only causes harm. Do you know what that does to prepare your heart to serve God today and to walk in peace? You know, it's funny. We want to walk in peace, but we don't want to prepare for peace. We want peace to just invade our life and take us over. But God's like, I gave you steps. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule means make the call. If you're not yielding to peace, you won't have any. You have to choose. I'm going to prepare my heart to walk in peace today. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I've said this so many times in 2023, I'm going to say it again. It is not legalistic to read the Bible every day. It's not legalistic to pray every day. It's not legalistic to get on your knees every day and lift your hands and say, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. My life is yours. Do you realize what you're doing? Because, you know, think about if you're not prepared for something, like if I were to all of a sudden grab a baseball out of my back pocket and throw it at someone here, you would not be ready for it, right? It would catch you off guard. You probably wouldn't catch it. I probably should have just done that, like with a Nerf ball, throwing it at Pastor Tanner. Just like Trevor would have caught it. I wouldn't have thrown it at him. He was a baseball player. Mr. Mitch would have caught it. He was a baseball player too. The rest of you guys, y'all would have been on your own, right? No, I'm just kidding. But if someone says, you know, the old think fast and they throw something, if you're not prepared, you're not ready, you won't be able to catch it. It's amazing to me how we expect to live successful, godly lives without any preparation. But if I were to ask you to get up here and speak next Sunday morning, you'd need to take some time to prepare, to get ready, right? You can always tell if somebody didn't prepare a sermon or a speech, and they ramble on and on, and they say things you've heard them say a million times. I better be careful because I'm kind of doing that a little bit today, saying things. But that's on purpose. It wasn't because I didn't prepare. It's in my notes. I can show you. But when you're not prepared and you're not ready, you're not successful. You can only perform at the level to which you've prepared. And why is it that we expect to live a life of excellence and godliness and holiness without preparing? Taking time every morning saying, God, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Prepare me to be ready, useful to your service, whatever you want. So prepare yourself by spending time with him so that when worry comes, when depression tries to set in, when insecurity tries to whisper in your ear, I'm ready for it. I'm not caught off guard by it. It's not taking me by surprise because I am fully clothed in the armor of God. I'm living in peace. I've prepared myself. I know what he says about me. I know what his word says about this situation. So you prepare for the day naturally. Prepare for the day spiritually. He gave you everything that you need to fight the enemy and the battles that are in front of you. And some of the battles you're facing, guess what? They're not even the enemy. Sometimes they're yourself. Sometimes they're others. Sometimes it's just life. But he gave you everything that you need. So the battles of today, guess what? They will overtake you if you're rehearsing yesterday's battles and you're fretting over tomorrow's battles. So the greatest enemy that you face, obviously, we all together collectively, the greatest enemy is the devil. But in your life, the greatest enemy that you face is not trouble. It's not problems because God said sufficient for the day is its trouble. It's tomorrow and yesterday. So be prepared. The second thing that you can do to live one day at a time is be intentional. What do I mean by that? Live on purpose with purpose. Don't let life just pass you by. Everything that you do, there should be a reason. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Because if there's not a reason, then I'm living in vain. I don't want to live in vain. In fact, Paul talks about it. He said, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. How many times do we live life in vain because we're not living with the purpose of, I'm going to live and give my life for the one that gave his life for me. I'm going to live my life with purpose. Learn to enjoy the moment. You know why? You'll never get that moment back. You'll never get it back. Each and every season that God allows you to walk through, whether it's hard, whether it's fun, whether it's rewarding, or whether it's challenging, it's a gift from him. You know, we just celebrated Christmas, and I don't know about you, but at my household, there was a lot of exchanging of presents that took place. The greatest present that you can give your loved ones this year is to be present. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true. They need you, dads. They need you, moms. They need you, husband. They need you, wife. They need you, friend, more than they need an iPad, more than they need a new pair of shoes. I'm not saying that gifts aren't good. I'm not saying we shouldn't give gifts. What I'm saying is the greatest gift you can give them is be present. And I don't just mean physically. I mean emotionally. Sadly, so many people today are more connected, but their more connection has led them to be less connected. People are more connected outside of their home than they are inside of their home because of a device called a cell phone or because of the internet. And I'm not here to harp or get on a soapbox today, but many people are there in body, but they're not there in spirit, right? And when you ignore, I want you to think about this. This has convicted me many times. I'm not speaking down to you. I'm telling you from experience. This has convicted me many times. When you ignore your spouse or your child because of a device, you are sending a strong message that this matters more than you. In this moment, when your child is trying, now I understand we can all get lost in something and not hear someone. I'm not talking about like you were engaged and you didn't hear them talking. I'm talking about when your child comes up to you or your spouse says something to you and you completely ignore them because what you're watching or reading or looking at is more important to you in that moment than them. Do you know what kind of message that sends? That's not being intentional to say, I'm here. And I'm listening to you. You ever been in a conversation with someone and you know in their mind they're 1,000 miles away? You don't feel very respected. You don't feel like your time is valued. Or maybe you're talking to someone and you're meeting with them and you're sharing your heart and all of a sudden their phone goes off and they pick up their phone. This is my phone right now because I don't have my phone on me because I'm intentional to be here with you guys and spend time. And they pick up their phone. They're like, yeah, I'm still listening. It's like, that is the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. You are not still listening. You are totally engaged in whoever just texted you because that's more important to you than what I'm saying right now, right? So if you want to live in today, you have to be intentional. Trust me, you'll enjoy life a lot more. You'll enjoy your family a lot more. And your family will be so grateful that you did. I tried to take some time over Christmas break where I was like, you know what? My phone is for emergencies only. If somebody needs to get in touch with me, they can get in touch with me. But it's staying on the kitchen counter, and we are playing Monopoly, and I'm going to put every ounce of effort into whooping everybody and taking all of their money in this moment. Yeah, I'll say it was because I wanted to engage with my family and be there. Really, I wanted to win. I wanted to beat them. And I was like, I don't need my phone distracting me from you know, swindling Broadway and Park Place out of Judah. Like, I really need all of my attention right now to be like, hey, son, would you take, you know, Baltic and Mediterranean and $500 for Boardwalk? Oh, that's a good deal, bud. You know, like, I don't know if I'm setting them up for success or failure by playing Monopoly because I'm not really teaching them good business, teaching them how to be swindled. No, I'm joking. I didn't really do that to them. Madison did it, and I was going to take the fall, but I cannot. Not anymore. I cannot lie. No, I'm just kidding. She did swindle Bo one time. She got him good, y'all. Y'all, we were going to have an altar call and prayer repentance for swindling people in Monopoly. We played a lot of Monopoly over Christmas break, and it was a lot of fun. But when, so we're talking about being intentional with your family. But let me tell you this too. When you go to work, be there. If they're paying you to be there, you should be there. Be intentional. Be present. The old, you know, it's an old thing today, and now you can't really do this to people because they'll get mad at you and they'll sue you or cancel you or whatever. But there used to be a day and age when you went to work, you left home at home and you had work at work. And when you left work at work and you came home. Now today, you can't separate anything from anybody. Now I'm not saying that you forget your family exists, you're not available for emergencies. What I'm saying is this: if somebody is expecting you to do a job for a wage, they're not paying you to surf Facebook. They're not paying you to text. They're paying you to work. And do you realize that sometimes you live unfulfilled because you're not fulfilling what you are getting paid and expected to do? And we wonder, why do I feel empty? Because if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. If a man doesn't provide for his family, he's rendered worse than an unbeliever. And so when you're at work or when you're hanging out with somebody, be fully present where you are. When you're having coffee with somebody, don't be watching reels on Instagram. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. That's okay. You're blessed for it. Don't be checking college football scores. Talk with them. Be present. Look them in the eye. Listen to them. You'll find relationships are so much more fulfilling. Here's another one. When you come to church, be present. It's easy to sit in church and you get relaxed, and maybe you're a doer and you're always going and you're always working, and so you finally sit down. And all of a sudden, you're like, I need to do this tomorrow. I need to do that. We should probably go ahead and begin to make preparations for this and that. When you're at church, you came here to meet with God. So be present. So whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether you're hanging out with friends, whether you're at church, be present. You will realize you will get so much more out of every single moment if you will live in the moment, right? Your intentionality will lead to growth. No one grows by accident. Only by effort. You will never accidentally get better. You will only intentionally get better. So take each day and be present. Be intentional. Okay, here's the third one. Be thankful. So we're going to be intentional. We're going to make sure that we are prepared. And we're going to be thankful. Thankful means to be conscious of the benefit received. What do I mean by that? Do you realize what a benefit it was for Jesus to go to the cross in your place? And to be conscious of means to be aware of. And we should live every single moment aware of the fact, he took my place. He went to the cross that I should have paid for. And so I'm going to live thankful. And that's going to allow me to live in the day. I'm going to live each day today. Why? Because I'm realizing I'm only blessed with today because of what he did. And so I'm going to stay in the day. When you're truly grateful for something that's been given to you, you know what you don't do? You don't take it for granted. You don't waste it. You make sure that you use it to the fullest. Each day is a gift from God. Life isn't something that you have to do. Life is something that you're blessed to be able to do. What if we looked at each day this way? Not this is what I have to do today. This is what God has rewarded me with the opportunity to do today. Parents, I know that it can be long and it can be hard, but children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. What if we looked at parenting that way? God, you've rewarded me with the opportunity to have these children. You've rewarded me with the opportunity to have this job. You've rewarded me with this spouse. You've rewarded me with this home. And instead of complaining that I gotta, you know, fix the flooring, or I've got to mow the grass, or I've got to do the dishes, what if you were thankful for it? You'd be a lot more present in that moment. You know, a bad attitude has never improved a bad situation. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, if you're at work, if you're at home, if you're at church, if you're playing sports, whatever you're doing, a bad attitude's never improved a bad situation. So let's choose, I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to have a grateful heart. Because complaining doesn't change your situation. As I've said multiple times today, worry only causes harm. So be grateful. I'm going to begin to close with this. Let's go back to Matthew 6:34. Marla, would you please put Matthew 6:34 back on the screen for me? Therefore, right down here, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, that sounds discouraging, doesn't it? for Jesus to close. He's been telling us he's going to provide for us. Don't worry about anything. And then he says, hey, guess what? Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's not actually discouraging. It's not disheartening. It may seem that way if you read it from that perspective, but it's not. Do you understand what Jesus is actually saying? The word sufficient, both in the Greek and the English, simply means this: enough. Meaning, there is enough, but there's not too much. It's enough that you can handle it. He will not give you more trouble than you can handle. Because he said sufficient. He didn't say overwhelming is the trouble. He said it's sufficient. It's enough. It's not too much. And sometimes we miss what God has for us because we become overwhelmed by things that he said, it's just enough. But you've turned it into something bigger than it actually is. Because if we go back to the book of Psalms, he says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. Now, I want to give you a visual of this. If something is sufficient, it's enough for me to carry. I can carry this Bible around and I can handle it because it's enough. But I could not carry this Bible, this stool, this microphone, this iPad, and this pulpit all at the same time. Now, some of y'all would like to see me try, would you not? But I'm not going to because I don't want to break things. But I could not handle all of that. And so I want you to get this picture. God will allow, there will be trouble in your life. He doesn't remove all trouble from your life, but it is enough. It's not too much. And so when we live one day at a time, we realize I may have trouble, but it will not be more than I can handle. But do you know what he does load you down with? Benefits. But sometimes, because we're straining at a gnat, we get so focused on the trouble. I shouldn't use the Bible. I'm going to use the iPad. I feel bad using the Bible as trouble. We get so focused on the trouble that we miss all the benefits. And we forsake them. And we don't focus on them. And we don't allow them to have place in our life. But the benefits outweigh the trouble. So don't miss the benefits because you're so distracted by the troubles. And that's why we have to let go of yesterday and not worry about tomorrow. Because what happens is you may say, well, then why do I feel so overwhelmed with trouble? Because you're stacking trouble on trouble because you're carrying yesterday's trouble and you're already trying to juggle tomorrow's trouble and it's overwhelming you. And it leaves your arms full to where God's up there like, I'm daily loading you with benefits. I've crowned the year with goodness. My paths are dripping with abundance. But we're choosing to juggle trouble because we have latched onto that and we're more focused on it than we are what he's giving to us. You know, the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, by his divine power he has given to us all things that pertain both to life and to godliness. So when we get into a situation for trouble, guess what? He's already given you everything you need to overcome that trouble. That trouble, you know what it is? It's just enough. But it's not too much. But he will give you blessing on blessing. And when I say blessing, I'm not just talking about dollar after dollar. I'm talking about favor. I'm talking about hope. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about happiness that can only come from him and him alone. So what do we need to do? We need to choose. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live one day at a time. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to let yesterday hold me back. Paul said this in the book of Philippians. He said, this one thing I do, letting go of what's behind me, I press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is found in Christ Jesus. You know, life's like monkey bars. What do I mean by that? You can't grab tomorrow without letting go of yesterday. Or I'm sorry, you can't grab today without letting go of yesterday. If you held on to that first monkey bar, you will never get to the end. You've got to let go of the last one in order to reach to the next one. Some of y'all, it's been a long time, like me, since you were on monkey bars, and you're like, wait a second, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. And as you swing from rung to rung, that's the analogy that I want you to think about that I'm living in today, because if I let go of today, I'll fall. If I don't let go of yesterday, I won't move forward. If I try to reach for tomorrow without holding on to today, I'll fall as well. I'm living each day in the moment, trusting God to be sufficient. Because listen, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I are not eternal the way that He's eternal. Our bodies are finite. All we have is right now, this moment. And so we need to choose to be prepared, to be intentional, and to be thankful. Realizing this moment, God blessed me with it. I didn't do anything to earn this moment. He gave it to me. It's His grace that I'm still here. It's His mercy that I'm still breathing. Every single one of us, none of us are good enough to be sitting here today. None of us are worthy enough. Only by His grace and His mercy are we awarded the opportunity to live in His kingdom, to be called His children. And so we need to choose, you know what? I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. I know that the day is going to have some trouble, but you know what? It's not too much. It's just enough to handle. But I'm going to live in the benefits and the blessings that He's given me by His word and by living in fellowship with Him. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. What I want to do is I want to give you the opportunity to make a fresh commitment today to the Lord and say, you know what, God, in 2024, I'm living one day at a time. And so I want to invite you to come and join me in the altar today and just say, you know what? I'm making this decision today, this day, as for me and my house in 2024, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to serve Him one day at a time. We're not just going to serve Him, you know, with our tomorrow. We're not just going to serve Him yesterday. We're choosing right now. I'm serving each and every day and I'm going to be committed to the Lord. And so, Father, we sanctify You in our hearts this morning and we choose and we declare we're living one day at a time. We're not going to get our eyes fixed upon yesterday. We're not going to be held back by the past. We're also not going to try to get far ahead of You, Lord, but we trust You in this moment. We know that You are sufficient. You will provide. God, You will never fail. We feed upon Your faithfulness, and we make a fresh commitment and a choice today, saying we're going to choose. We're going to follow after You. Right now, in this moment, we say and we declare, our life is Yours. Every single moment of every single day, we're not going to hold anything back, but we're going to be prepared. Lord, prepare our hearts right now to walk with You every step of the way, not to lag behind, not to try to run ahead, but to stay in step with You. Lord, help us to walk in the whole armor of God, to stay in peace, to live in accordance with Your word, holy and acceptable to You. God, help us to be intentional in every single moment, not to be distracted, but to be present with where we are, living in the moment. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be thankful, always conscious of the benefit received that You gave through the work of the cross, through giving Your Son. God, may we never forget the sacrifice that was made so that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly. And God, forgive us. For when we have not been aware of that sacrifice and we've wasted the life You've given us. We've been so wasteful of time. What a precious commodity that we're not even promised to have tomorrow. We're not promised the next second. So God, help us to be intentional and aware and grateful every single moment to realize time is a gift from God. And may everything in our life be from You, through You, and back unto You. So we commit ourselves to You fresh and new today. And we say that we belong to You and we want to live one day at a time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you. May He keep you in His peace and smile all over you. And may you live one day at a time with Jesus this year in all the days of your life, walking with Him, being in step with Him, fellowshipping with Him, being prepared, being intentional, and being thankful. And may He use you for His glory and His honor. May you be blessed in all that you do. Because everything that you do is in line with His will and His plan for your life. I bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys Wednesday night. Don't forget, we're going to be talking Wednesday night about preparing to fast as we start that next Sunday morning. Love y'all. Have a great and awesome new year.